I'm Sean McIntosh. I'm the CTG Program Manager for the American Public Health Association. We're a dissemination grantee, a national network dissemination grantee, and our job really is to get all of this information out to the broader public. And so that's why we're doing this today. There are sessions all day, and I did introduce the guide. We also passed out evaluation forms, so please make sure you fill out your evaluation and hand them in to Adrian at the end before you leave. So with that, I'm going to give you back to Donna.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Donna Norkley, and I coordinate the Community Transformation Grant Project for the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians. We kind of shorten it sometimes to Sioux Tribe, but then it gets confused with the S-I-O-U-X tribe, so we don't want any confusion there. We're Chippewa Indians. So anyways, when we're an implementation grantee, and I have no financial relationships to disclose, and there's my disclaimer that all the content of this presentation is mine and not the opinions of the CDC. Okay, so where we're located. We started out, when I first started working with the Sioux Tribe was in 2006, and we had a Steps to a Healthier Anishinaabe grant. And then we got a Strategic Alliance for Health grant. And with that grant, we had to pick four funded communities. So that's where the start of our coalition came from. We had a coalition in Alger County, which was the city of Munising. Chippewa County was Sault Ste. Marie. Schoolcraft County was Manistique. And Mackinac County was St. Ignace. And those were our four original coalitions. And that enabled us to apply for implementation because we already had some capacity built. We had coalitions already in place, leadership team. And then we mentored two communities with the Strategic Alliance for Health funding. Kinross and Newberry. Kinross is in Chippewa County and Newberry is in Luce County. And I'm partial, but the UP is a beautiful place, so I wanted to show you some beautiful pictures. We are UPers. We are isolated up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and connected by the Mackinac Bridge, and we're the upers as compared to the trolls that live below the bridge. So we have some challenges up there. We're very rural. I live in a county, Luce County is where I live, and that county, we have absolutely no stoplights in the whole county, so that tells you how rural we are. And why when I drive downstate, I get so impatient, like, I can't stand to sit here and wait for this stuff. So we already conducted our BIRFAs. As Mel said, there's not a lot of data on tribal populations. And the state BIRFAs had no data for us. It was counties. And actually in the UP, we're so rural that they take 3 years of the county population and mesh it together. So we had no even county-specific data. So we decided we needed to do our own surveillance study. And with the help of our evaluators, Michigan Public Health Institute, we started that. And we conducted the data collection from December 2012 to March 2013. And we mailed out surveys. We decided to do a mail survey. We had done, through Intertribal Council of Michigan with the STEPS grant, they had done a random phone survey, but it was collectively five tribes together, and so the sample size for the Sioux Tribe population wasn't large enough to really be weighted, so we really felt it necessary to do our own survey. So we did a mail survey, and we randomly selected tribal member households. We had one adult from each household, so it may not have been a tribal member that actually completed the survey. We had it, we said, you know, the person with the first birthday coming up would complete the survey. And then we had a section for to get data on some children, and that was age 5 to 11. So there was some information if they had a child in the home in that age, they filled out that part of the survey as well. So we got 1,611 completed, unduplicated, and eligible surveys returned for a response rate of 36%, which we were really, really happy. We did give incentives for returning the survey, some financial incentives, so that helped. Some of the results of the survey, I'll be showing you. We just basically just got the results. We just did presentations of the results to our leadership team and to our tribal board, and I presented a resolution, and they actually approved that we could actually share the results of the survey in presentations and in publications, so we're very happy with that. One of the things in our implementation, we're working on 4 strategic directions. 3 of them were required: the tobacco use, the healthy eating and physical activity, and the clinical management of high blood pressure and cholesterol. And we also chose to work on the healthy and safe physical environments as our 4th strategic direction. And we picked those because basically we wanted successes. We'd done a lot of community assessment already. We did with the Strategic Alliance for Health Project, we use the CDC's change tool. Has anybody heard of that? So they were lengthy, community assessments that looked at the community environment, policies and systems within the communities. So we had all that data, and we had done strategic planning, and we, in our 4 communities that we picked for Strategic Alliance for Health, we picked our successful initiatives and decided we wanted to carry those on with CTG but expand them throughout our 7 county service area. So the first thing we wanted to work on was our smoke-free work sites. And our objective was to increase the percent of tribally owned work sites designated as smoke-free from 76% to 90%. And I want to mention that we couldn't do this without our partners and great collaboration and great support from our tribal leadership team. We have the Quaden Casino's public relations director on our tribal leadership team. And I had developed a lot of trust, I guess, with her. With the STEPS grant and the Strategic Alliance for Health grant, we worked on wellness, worksite wellness for casino employees. So we had a relationship already, and that allowed us to really kind of step into this touchy area of smoke-free worksites and casinos. So we were looking at taking some baby steps and first making the casino restaurants smoke-free, then going to the hotels. And like I said, we had great partnership and trust with the casino management and the public relations director for the casinos. So some of our data that came out from our health survey that I thought was interesting that related to this, and this came after we'd already picked our objectives, but we asked people's beliefs about smoking in certain locations. So we asked, would you want smoking in indoor areas of casinos or bingo halls? Should it be allowed? And so 48% of respondents said, no, it shouldn't be allowed at all. 52% said in some or all areas. So I think we're making progress that 48% actually said they didn't want smoking in casinos, because that's been traditionally, the view of the tribal members, the tribal board, is smoking and casinos go together. But then if you look down at in the indoor work areas, smoking should be allowed, 76% said not at all. And I think that's where there's a disconnect, because the casinos are a work site. So I think we have, some good data to kind of educate the tribal population and our tribal board. Tribal community buildings, 78% said smoking shouldn't be allowed, and in indoor areas of restaurants, 79%. So people are getting that fact of smoking shouldn't be allowed in a lot of public areas. So our first success was three Croydon casino restaurants were designated smoke-free in June of 2012. And we thought we could do it with just the casinos developing a policy about smoke-free work sites, but we actually, the casino management had to actually go to the tribal board and get a resolution passed, which kind of makes it a little stronger and it shows their support. So that was good. We did a lot of press about it. We had a lot of good signage. And it's been very successful. I've heard that, you know, everybody didn't not go to the restaurants and people didn't stay away from the casinos. So I think it's really good that it's showing, you know, that it's working. Then we asked about how people felt about commercial tobacco. And we do it. The Sioux Tribe does use traditional tobacco for ceremonial use and religious purposes. So we always differentiate between commercial tobacco and the use of traditional tobacco. And commercial tobacco would be the abuse of smoking cigarettes or chewing tobacco or using other tobacco products. And so we asked if tribal members thought it was okay for parents to smoke in front of children, and 65% said no. Tribal government should strongly enforce laws that prevent the sale of commercial tobacco to minors, 81% agreed. And then smoking should be allowed in outdoor areas. That was kind of a mixed bag. But we still had 34% strongly agreeing, and one of our objectives that we are working on is tobacco-free outdoor recreation areas. I don't know if I have the slide in here. Oh, I don't. I have to tell about the other slide. I took some slides out because I thought we had three presenters and I wouldn't have time, but we did ask, too, about do you have rules about smoking in your home? And this just amazed me because 75% of tribal members responded that they didn't allow smoking anywhere in their home. And I like to say that our project and our community health program take some credit for it. We, when we had the Strategic Alliance for Health grant, we did work on smoke-free housing, and we got some extra funding from the Michigan Department of Community Health to do a comprehensive media campaign. So we had a very strong campaign that talked about everyone deserves a smoke-free home, and we had our logo for smoke-free housing that was developed by a Native artist, very culturally appropriate, that differentiated between commercial tobacco and sacred tobacco. And we also used some residents from the housing in our TV ads and commercials, and in radio ads we used our youth. And so that message must have really come across because I was just shocked when I saw that statistic. We also, our next success was we worked on tobacco-free health center campuses. And under the direction of our Sioux Tribe Health Division director, she really pushed for this, and we developed a lot of educational presentations to our tribal board. Our Sioux Tribe medical director came on board and helped us with our presentation. And the Sioux Tribe nicotine dependence program staff, we have a very strong nicotine dependence program. And so we wanted to be able to offer cessation when the campuses went smoke-free. So in January 1st of 2013, five health center campuses were designated tobacco-free, and we have six health centers throughout our region, but the one at One of them already was tobacco-free because we combined our health center with a local hospital, and they had a tobacco-free campus. So that kind of helped us out with, you know, we already have one tobacco-free, let's do the rest. So we developed, it's kind of hard to see there, but we developed some really good signage, very friendly about, you know, for the health of your community. This, we wanted a positive message to show, and not just the no, don't smoke. We also have an objective for youth tobacco prevention. We found that we have a lot of our schools are doing the MiFi. It's the Michigan Profile for Healthy Youth, and it's kind of like the Youth Behavior Survey. But when we looked at the data from our schools up in the UP, and it separates Native American versus non-Native students, and we found that the Native American students were using tobacco at a much younger age than non-Native students. So we decided we needed to work on that. So we do have a lot of partners that are helping us. The Chippewa County Health Department has a very strong tobacco prevention program, and they really partner a lot with us. We have a Sioux Tribe Youth Education and Activities Program, and those students get, we try to engage them, and we get them involved in a lot of activities. Of course, law enforcement. We're now looking at partnering with our elder program. We have some elders that have some tobacco seeds, and so we're thinking we want to start a program where they work with the YEA students and the summer youth program, and they actually plant a garden and talk about, and they learn about traditional tobacco use as a way of saying, you know, if tobacco is sacred, you don't want to abuse it and smoke cigarettes. So we did a lot of education with media around youth tobacco prevention. We did retailer education packets. We provided to our mid-gyms, which are our tribal casino convenience stores and casino gift shops. We partnered with our intermediate school districts to train the school personnel, and we have the Michigan model curriculum. It's a very good curriculum. It's not mandated by the state of Michigan that schools have to use it as a health curriculum, so it kind of gets left by the wayside. I did hear that there are some states that actually mandate that their schools use the Michigan model because it's so good, but our state doesn't mandate it. But we work to get some teachers trained in that, especially in the tobacco prevention curriculum, and we've done a lot of media around youth tobacco prevention. As I said before, we're also working to do tobacco-free outdoor recreation areas, and we're partnering with our local health departments on that. And our Great Start collaboratives have really gotten involved, and they want their children to have tobacco-free places to play. And so they've been a really great partner, and they've even written some of our objective into their strategic plan for Great Start collaboratives. So we've had 7 municipalities that have designated tobacco-free outdoor recreation areas since the start of the CTG. The signage is St. Ignace on the, it's a little blurry, but the photo is of a township in Marquette County. And that we always do a recognition event, and we give them a little certificate of recognition and do a photo op and a news article. And it was interesting because this was a little township, Sands Township, and they had one park. And so we had TV6, our local news, come, and we did the news release in the paper. And about a month later, I got a call from the health department. She said, well, Ely Township has 10 parks, and they've had so many calls from people in the community saying they saw Sands Township went tobacco-free, and they want their parks tobacco-free. So without a lot of work, we got Ely Township, and we just had their recognition event. So that was great. We've done a lot of media around that. We developed this infographic on Play Tobacco-Free. We've done a lot of radio interviews, and TV ads have been aired. We also developed, I should mention, we also developed a toolkit that we send out to all townships. There's a survey, and we send the survey to all the township officials just to see what their attitudes are about making their parks tobacco-free. And then we also ask them, do they want more information? Do they want a presentation, education? And so that's been very helpful. And that toolkit will be posted on our website. It's not yet, but a lot of good stuff in it. Healthy food access. We also want to increase number of public service venues that employ strategies to increase the availability, accessibility, affordability, and identification of healthy foods. That's kind of a big goal. We have a lot of great partners. All of our coalitions have groups working on healthy food access. We have the MSU Extension people. We have a great food co-op in Marquette that's really, really active. And they wrote a grant with the Eastern Upper Peninsula Food Hub and formed a UP food exchange. So they've been just a really great partner. We also have a federally recognized tribal extension program that has a grant that we're working with that coordinator. And of course, we're working with our diabetes program and our USDA and the Sioux Tribe Elder Program. So some of the data we found from our survey was not very good. This is kind of misleading. It says 4 out of 5 adults meet the recommendations for daily servings of vegetables, and 3 out of 5 meet recommendations for daily servings of fruits. But, and I was shocked. I'm like, well, people aren't eating 5 a day. Well, what I found out from our evaluators and the research, they've kind of changed it. And the guidelines now are saying you only need to eat 1 fruit a day and 1 vegetable, and that meets the minimum requirements. So basically, what we found is our tribal members are eating 1.5 servings of vegetables a day and 1 serving of fruit. So that's only 2.5 servings of fruits and vegetables, and I don't call that meeting the minimum recommendations, but... one thing that really concerned us was almost 3/4 of our tribal adults are overweight or obese. And we asked where people got their produce and was it at a good price and good quality, and 62% said produce was available at good price and good quality, but then you've got 38% of our population saying no, they can't get produce at a good price or good quality. So some of our initiatives for healthy food access is promoting our farmers markets. The top picture is a farmers market in our community of Manistique that was started through SAH, and we really want to keep promoting that and expanding our market. The bottom picture with the sunflowers is a community garden behind a school in St. Ignace. We did a campaign called Let's Get Local. We did a physical activity Let's Get Moving challenge that we've done for 4 years, and we had 10 communities participate. So at the end of that, we actually decided to let's talk about local foods. And so on our website we had a blog, and people could send in pictures of foods made with their local meals, and then we gave a prize if they came and entered comments on our blog every week, so 4 times during that month of August, then they got entered into a drawing. So it was kind of cool, and it brought people to our website too. And we've just formed a Tribal Food Sovereignty Collaborative. We've had 2 meetings now, and at our 2nd meeting, we posted a big paper and did a timeline. And it's, you really can't see that, but you could, of all the things that we've done, all of the systems, environmental policy changes that have occurred, related to healthy food or access to healthy food over the years. And we started, probably the start of that was probably 2005 and up till now. So you can see we have done a lot of work around that, but we have a lot more to do. We're also working with our early childhood programs to make sure that they implement standards for nutrition, physical activity, and screen time that are consistent with the National Health and Safety Performance Standards. And so our partners are our early childhood program. We're working with our dietitians and our nutrition program. We're also expanding kind of out. You know, we couldn't really stay within our tribe because I kind of forgot to mention that our tribe's a little different. We're not on a reservation. We have 35,000 tribal members across the United States. We have 15,000 that live in our service area. And we just have trust land that's like where our Sioux Tribe housing is, where our casinos are, and where our health centers are. But most of those 15,000 tribal members live, work, out in the community, and we have no tribal specific schools. The kids go to the public schools. So we really work mostly out in the community. We do something strictly with tribal agencies, but we do try to expand to the community to reach the whole community. So we've pulled in our Great Start Collaborative agencies and our EUP Intermediate School District in this initiative. One of the first things we did was we brought the training for the I Am Moving, I Am Learning curriculum and trained all of our tribal early childhood program staff in that curriculum, and the Bay Mills tribe brought their tribal staff. So we had quite a large group do that. And then we trained our staff in the Kindergarten Michigan Model for Health at the Sioux Tribe Early Childhood Program. And from that, they decided to do a whole nutrition education program on the My Plate, and they bought little plates that had the divided meals. And they're doing a whole program around that. So when they do their education, then the students are served their meals on the My Plate, and it reinforces that education. We're working with school districts. Like, we funded 11 school districts, and those districts, with that funding, they were required to form coordinated school health teams, complete the Healthy School Action Tool assessment. And it's kind of like that's a Michigan assessment, and it's comparable to the School Health Index, if you've heard of that. So it's quite a comprehensive assessment that looks at the school's environment for physical activity, nutrition, and tobacco use. And through that assessment, they all developed an action plan for improvement. And we had a conference where the schools came together and networked and got to hear Pat Cooper. Has anybody heard of him? But he's like the guru of coordinated school health, and he's made a big difference in some schools down in Macomb, Mississippi. And he's moved on to the New Orleans School District.
Are the people geographically located in one area? Is that how you know
the
community is?
We're seven.
On the nation, they don't live on
a. No. It's seven counties. It's the whole eastern half of the Michigan Upper Peninsula. So, yeah, we're very, very spread out. We also wanted to provide access to water. So we started an initiative, and we provided some funding for our schools that we were working with to have water bottle filling stations. And our schools are so delighted with that. It's really taken off. We had a lot of comments from parents saying their students were having headaches. They weren't allowed to have water in the classroom. So one of the requirements of getting the water bottle filling stations was the schools had to agree to, you know, allow the students to have water in the classrooms and have time to have water after physical education class and have water also where they eat, you know, in the lunchroom. Increasing walking and biking, we've done a lot of work around active transportation options, and we've worked with a lot of our communities to help them implement complete streets practices and develop non-motorized transportation plans. And we asked people how many streets in your community are safe for bicyclists and walkers. 36% said most, but we did have 9% saying none of them, 25% some. So, you know, it kind of varies. But then if you look at leisure time physical activity, Sioux Tribe members responded, 36% of our Sioux Tribe members do not get any leisure time physical activity. And to me, that was pretty shocking compared to 24% of people in Michigan. So with our non-motorized transportation planning, the first year we worked with Kinross Charter Township and the Village of Newberry and gave them some funding to develop a non-motorized transportation plan. And this is the part of the Kinross plan that's their bike plan. You can see that they developed a little route here, and that will be signed and painted. And the Village of Newberry worked on mostly looking at their sidewalks. But the purpose, I think, is really great. They wanted to document the vision to make the community a place where citizens can safely bike and walk, and to entice more people to the area by creating a destination that promotes active lifestyles. So it's a win-win. You know, it gets the township officials behind it, because their goal may not to be to increase physical activity, but they want to entice people to come to their town. We also decided to contract with Opus International to develop a Sioux Tribe, 7-county non-motorized transportation plan. Some of the things that we'd already done successfully is we had a Safe Routes to School grant that was successfully funded with JKL Ball Watching School in the Sioux, and this is one of the crosswalks and the new sidewalks they put in. And we're one by one taking, none of the Sioux Tribe housing sites had sidewalks. I wish I could show you before and after, but I'm just thrilled with how nice it looks now with the sidewalk. And this is kind of hard to see, but this is a bike rack that she actually put in. So with that, I want to thank, you know, this was done as a team effort, and I want to stress the collaboration. We have a wonderful tribal leadership team, wonderful staff, coalition members, and our wonderful evaluation team from Michigan Public Health Institute. I also handed out this. This just came right before I left to come here, but with the BRFIS study, the Michigan Public Health Institute evaluators are making little infographic handouts for us to disseminate some of this data in a nice reader-friendly way. And what I really like, this is the tobacco use one, and what I really like is the last page where we have the call to action, what can we do? And it gives suggestions of what the individual, retailers, community members, healthcare providers, and community leaders and decision makers can do to change some of these statistics. With, you know, 33% smoking rate in the Sioux Tribe is pretty high. So, thank you.
Thank you.